Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this seventh Sunday after Trinity is our gospel reading in Mark chapter 8. The old wives say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. They're onto something, for we are but weak men. We rarely miss the opportunity to do the easy thing, the selfish thing, to react to our bodies as though they were what mattered most. And hunger can quickly reduce us to something close to beasts. Our hunger, we think, must be sated. Yet we are not merely or only hungry for food. For we also hunger for the flesh of a woman. We hunger for honor among our peers, for gadgets and gizmos and constant entertainment, for a pain-free life, for myriad luxury items. How many times have we stood before a refrigerator full of food and said, there's nothing to eat? How many times have we sat bored in front of the television and said, there's nothing to do? How many times have we looked at the car lot and said, $15,000 just isn't enough? We are a dissatisfied, discontent, disrespectful people. We must repent. The Lord had compassion on the multitudes. He saw their hunger. He suffers along with you also. Even when you're suffering, your hunger is not only for good things. Even when your hunger is tainted by mixed motives and desire. For the Lord knows your pain and your frustration. He knows what you want. He knows how dangerous your sin is and how it hurts and threatens you. He knows what gnaws at you and how you are seduced and haunted by temptation. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And what of those who hunger for fancy food and delicate desserts? What of those who hunger in their loins, or who hunger for power and fame? They also will be satisfied. Their lusts will be quenched. Their covetousness will be stopped. Their anger will be forgotten. And the good that they desire underneath it all will be given to them. This is part of the reason that we pray. Our lives are so infected with sin that we do not always know what we should pray for. Sometimes our prayers are simply a desire to talk with or to God. We aren't really imparting information or even necessarily asking Him for anything. Like two sisters telling one another things they already know or just remembering something that happened in the past. And that's okay. God loves your prayers and your attention. He desires that you call upon Him. Other times we pray simply out of habit or discipline. Every time we sit down to eat at a meal, we pray before we start. Often, we don't mean it. My wife and I sometimes forget if we prayed or not. 5 minutes into the meal, did we pray? How meaningful was that prayer? It doesn't matter. It was the right thing to do. You don't have to mean it. You don't have to want to do it. It is a discipline that is good, helpful, and healthy. The idea with those sorts of prayers is that we would remember, at least in an outward way, that it is God who provides the food that we need and all things that we need. It is this idea also with the Lord's Prayer, that it doesn't require your attention to work, that it is the Lord's words, and we want them in our mouths and on our lips, and that He will be faithful. He will remember His word, and He will keep it. So prayers of discipline, of habit, of rote, are in fact quite good, quite helpful, quite healthy. God's will is always good. but much of his will is hidden from us. Thus, we also pray for his will to be revealed to us and for our will to be brought into conformity with his. Even the selfish things that we hunger for, our dissatisfaction and frustration, are based upon good things, the things that God wants to give. And often our frustration and dissatisfaction is because of sin and the death that is all around us, because we have glimpsed the city that was made not with hands, and we desire that city, like Abraham did before us, and we find ourselves dissatisfied with this fallen creation. Lust is really a perversion of love and of the joyful intimacy that God gives in marriage. Power is a corruption of man's dominion over the earth. Wanting to be popular and to be liked by your peers is simply a slightly off-kilter desire for brotherly love. The things that Satan tempts you with are based in good things, just good things gone the wrong way, the wrong time. And therefore, while God does not have compassion for sin, he does have compassion for your hunger. He does desire you to be satisfied. And even though your sinful flesh corrupts desire for good things and turns it to lust or greed or gluttony, God will satisfy you. He will answer your prayers. He will quench your desire and give you what is good and is satisfying, so that finally in heaven, you will hunger no more. How that will come about and what it means for day-to-day life while we wait on the Lord and hope in his word, that's hidden from us. We all know, all we know is what God has told us in the Bible, that he is good, that he loves us, that he has died and risen again for us and will bring us to himself in heaven, that he is coming back. We know that our loved ones who have gone before us in the faith are already with him, that they are satisfied and happy and are in perfect bliss. We know when we look back, in part, some of God's hidden will. When we look back over the history of our lives, some things have been shown us, such as who God wants you to marry, who your children will be, and so forth. But the hidden will of God, even in the past, is still a very fuzzy thing. For we know that God works all things together for good, even evil things. But often we look back at evil things, we still cannot see the good, or we only guess at it. Who's going to dare to speculate as to how God used the Trail of Tears for good, or the Columbine Massacre, or even September 11 or October 7? We really don't know. We have to wait for that to be revealed. We believe that God is good, that he will work all things together for good. We believe that the Bible has told us about him, and his love for us, his mercy, his desire to forgive and have us with him forever. But we don't know all these things. So we pray. We pray that God's will would be revealed for us and that our will would be brought into conformity with his, and that our hunger and desire would be for good things, and that God would then satisfy us. Thus, we pray for daily bread, for all that we need to support this body and life. And we pray for all that we need to obtain and stay in this holy faith, that we would wait on the Lord and hope in his word and pray for all the good things of creation that God has promised to us. We pray for strength, guidance, and courage. We pray for faith, for forgiveness. But we should also pray for the things that we want, for our hungers and desires. That's not to say we should pray for sinful things. It's not as though if you've been lusting for a coworker, you would pray that she would find you attractive. But rather we pray that we would be led out of temptation and that our desires would be quenched. We pray that God would give us the good things that He has promised in such a way that they satisfy us. And our prayers influence God. He answers them. And He wants us to ask for the things that we actually want, even when we cannot quite put a word to it or uncertain if it's what He wants. Do not limit your prayers to spiritual things, simply praying, "Forgive my sins, help me to be a better person." Those are good prayers, and you shouldn't stop them. But you should also pray for the stuff you want. You should also pray for the things of creation. Think of how little children ask their parents for all sorts of things. You're walking down the aisle in the grocery store, and everything they see, they want. They don't really expect you to give them everything, but they keep on asking. They also have a tendency to ask for impossible things. A trip to the moon or a Porsche. I remember one time one of our children prayed to God and asked that God would turn her into a horse. And that's fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Ask for what you want. God will sanctify and bless your prayers. So if you want small and petty things, a good parking spot, or enough toothpaste left in the tube to fill your toothbrush, or your foot to stop itching, go ahead and pray for it. Because God is interested in everything that you are interested in, and He loves your prayers. And if you want to pray for ridiculous things, if you want to pray that your loved ones would come back from the dead, if you want to pray that World War II had never happened, or that you can go back in time, or be turned into a horse, go ahead and pray for it. As a child, bold and confident that your Father will not be annoyed by it. He will not grow tired with you, but that He loves you and will answer your prayers His way. And He will give you all things. He always says yes. In Jesus Christ, the answer is always yes, and everything we ask in Jesus' name, He gives the things that Jesus wants to give us. Everything will be revealed. You will know in the end how all of these things were good, how all things, even evil things like Columbine and the Trail of Tears, God worked for good. You will see how all of the tragedies and difficulties of your life, the illnesses and sadness, were for good. And everything you thought He was holding out on you, everything you thought He did not give, you will receive. Your loved ones will come back from the dead. You will have all of your things, all the things you wanted. No more hunger, no more tears, no more sadness. He loves your prayers, and He loves the honesty, vulnerability, and intimacy that prayer is between you and Him. So you will get these things because He has compassion. He suffers with you. In the meantime, while we wait for all of these things to be given and revealed, He is still suffering with you, desiring to relieve your suffering and to help you. And He feeds you body and soul with His body and blood. He joins you to Himself and forgives you now, here in time, for eternity. It is not always discernible to our flesh, but He also encourages and strengthens you in this holy meal as well. You do not walk away from the Lord. You do not walk away from His body and blood, this miraculous multiplication of grace, the same as you came. He knows your needs, your fears, and your desires. He loves to answer your prayers and bestow His gifts. But even without your prayers, He has compassion. He loves you, and He keeps His word and promises. He never forgets you. He never fails to notice, for He always loves you. Thus has He provided bread of life for you in this wilderness and a home for you to come to. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.